So when the Torah says kol orel lo yochal bo, the Sefer HaChinuch says v'hu orel shemesu echov machmas mila bein tzorach lomar mishumad la'arlus. The Sefer HaChinuch says that if a Jew is not circumcised, not because he refuses or because, even because his parents refused, he's not circumcised because his parents were told they're not allowed to circumcise him. Because he lost now the word is echov. He lost brothers or a brother to hemophilia. That's for today. If we know that the mother is a carrier and the father's a hemophiliac, and therefore it's quite certain that their son is going to be a hemophiliac, that boy is not allowed to have a bris even if he didn't lose brothers. Right? You're familiar with this terminology, right? Mesu echov machmas mila.
Right.
They understood that this kind of disease is usually passed on through the boys. The girls have a 50-50 chance because of the X and the Y chromosome, but the boy is stuck with two X's. The girl has two chances for two X's to get away with it, but the boy has only one X. So he's going to get it. And they understood this, so they said that the boy is not allowed to... So not allowed to have the bris.
This is a machlokes rishonim, isn't it?
It is, yes. Rabbi Natam in Maseches Vachim and in Maseches Tachim, paskins that if a boy was given a psak, that if they told him he's not allowed to have a bris, then he is allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. The whole point is, the whole reasoning behind the mitzvah is that anyone who joins in this very festive and very important historical meal should not be someone who defies the only other mitzvah saseh that is as serious as the Korban Pesach. But if the psak is that he's not even allowed to have a bris mila, why should he be denied from that? Okay? I want to read the pasuk in its entirety. It says, V'chi yaguri tchager v'asa pesach l'ashem, Himolo kol zachor v'ozikrav la'asoso v'hayok ke'ezrach ha'aretz. Right, so it's talking about a ger who joins the Jewish people, but he has some uncircumcised members of his household. Make sure to circumcise all of them, right? And it says, and he'll be just like everyone else in Israel. So if this... Is this Orel a new individual? So comes the Mechilta and Rashi and the Gemara to say yes, because if this was just explaining why this ger can't eat the Korban Pesach unless he circumcises his entire household, the Pasuk should have said, why does he have to do this? Ki Orel lo yochal bo. Because an Orel can't eat the Korban Pesach. This Orel must be someone who's not born Jewish. This RL is someone born Jewish who for some reason did not get his bris mila. Okay? So that is the opinion of Tosfos. That is the opinion of Rashi. That's the opinion of actually the Shulchan Aruch and Yerodea. Yerodea Simon Reish Samach, Paskins. RL Shemesu Echav Machmas Mila does not get to eat the Korban Pesach. Okay? So Rashi on the Pasuk. And Tosfos in Yevamos, Tosfos in Zvochim, says that a hemophiliac who wasn't gemalt can't eat the Korban Pesach. However, Rabbeinu Tam, as Aaron just hinted, Rabbeinu Tam mentioned, Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos in Zvochim, Daf Chav Beis, Paskins, he holds that this Orel is only a Meshumad. Okay? So according to the chinuch earlier, this mitzvah includes a nochri, even if he is circumcised. Remember that? If you have an Arab who is circumcised, he may not eat the Korban Pesach. You may recall a Mishnah in the Nedarim that if someone says, I make a neder not to have any hana from an orel, what do you think? Can he have hana from a Gentile who is circumcised? Is a Gentile who is circumcised considered an Orel or not? And the how about the opposite? What about a Jew who is uncircumcised? Is that Jew called an Orel? So the Mishnah in the Darim says that this is bin Darim holchem achar lashon bnei adam. And in the Darim, a Gentile is called an Arel even if he is circumcised, and a Jew is not an Arel even if he's not circumcised. The issue here is not so much the lahachis Jew who refuses to be circumcised, even though it's perfectly healthy for him to do so. Such a person probably doesn't want to eat the Korban Pesach. The issue here is the hemophiliac. That's the issue. Okay, so let's read a little bit in the Sefer HaChinuch itself. Okay, everyone see it? All right, let's see where I wrote the number one. It says, V'hu shitas Rashi Yevamos Reish Perika Arel, Ayin Amad Aleph, V'atos v'sham hiskimu imo. Etc. Okay, and then he mentions this other opinion. Aval haTosfos zvachim v'chagiga hanal. Tosfos in the beginning, very beginning of Maseches Chagiga, Daf Dalid. Tosfos says, "Mevi'im das Rabbeinu Tam de davka ihu misyarei lamul." Aval b'mesum achav echav machmas mila de inu rashoi lamul. Obeize inyan she'enu rashoi lamul machmas sakana, rashoi lecho pesach utruma ve'en lo din orel ayin shom. Okay, if it's that he had a psak not to give the bris mila, then there's no prevention from eating truma or the korban pesach. Okay, and as I mentioned before, we paskin like Rashi, like Tosfos, not like Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Now, when it's interesting that this rule, look, and if you have a shmos in front of you, this rule that an orel can't eat the korban pesach wasn't given to us until two psukim before we left Egypt. Right, the two sections in Parshas Bo where Moshe teaches the rules of korban pesach. One is in the beginning of the perek, and one is at the end of the perek. And Moshe waits until the very end of the perek to teach us this rule. Take a look at Perek Yudbet, Pasuk Mem Chet, is where we learn V'chol Orel Lo Yochal Bo. It's one of the last laws of all of Korban Pesach that the Torah teaches. Right? Before this, right? Right? And the main point of this section here is about Bris Mila. Take a look. Zos chukas ha-pesach kol ben nechor lo yochal bo. V'chol evet ish miknas kesef u'malta oso az yochal bo. Toshav v'sachir lo yochal bo. Right? All right, it does teach us also this rule. B'bayis ha-chod yochel lo so tzim min ha-bayis min ha-basar chutz v'etzen lo sish buvo. Right? But that's the only interruption. Every other pasuk in this section is coming to teach us the invalidation of Orel or Toshav Sochir or Ben Echar or things like that. Okay, so it seems that Moshe wanted to wait as long as possible to tell us this rule of Ben Echar because we wanted to connect the bris mila that they gave to the korban pesach, the shechting of the korban pesach. If you hear of the drash in Chazal, v'omar loch b'damayich chayi, v'omar loch b'damayich chayi. Those are the words on top of the top of Yad Vashem. With this blood you shall live. With this blood you shall live. That there's two bloods that made it possible for us to leave Egypt: the blood of korban pesach and the blood of Bris Mila, which was on the same day. It was a massive Bris Mila on Erev Pesach, in case someone was not circumcised, because you couldn't eat the Korban Pesach that night unless they were circumcised. So they had both damim. This is mentioned by the Gur Aryeh, which is the parish of the Maharal in Prague, to Rashi in his parish. Okay, what's the philosophy behind this? So the Maharal says that a slave is usually branded to his owner. Bechor Shor says that's why his ear gets pierced by the door right near the door. So the doorpost will always testify that this is the household where the slave chose to stay on. And the bris milah becomes like this mark, this branding, so to say, va'al brischa shechasamta bivsarenu. It's like a signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the bodies of these newly freed slaves. You're no longer branded to Paro, now you're Avdei Hashem. Okay, the orla is like a mechitza between ourselves and Hashem. Right? Again, Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, whether by intent or not. If someone had to be an orel, then he's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach according to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? So bris milah took down the mechitza, so to say, of the orla that stood between ourselves and Hashem, so that we could bring the Korban Pesach. Okay. Okay. So let's now get into the minchas chinuch. Let's see now the number two, on the second page. All right. Okay, so there is the definition of an orel is a child who reached the age to have a bris milah and doesn't have it. So a few chakiros. What happens if a family had a four-year-old baby at the time of the Korban Pesach? Could it be possible that that child invalidates the family from eating the Korban Pesach? No, no one here would think so. 4-day-old baby, say year-old baby? Yeah. A 4-day-old baby. In other words, the family had a boy 4 days before Pesach.
Okay.
That child, of course, is not going to get circumcised.
Yeah, you have to wait till
18. Right, you have to wait till 18. So no one would say that child is an orel, right? How about this halacha? An orel is not allowed to eat truma. Fine. No 4-day-old baby is going to be able to eat truma, of course. But there's another use of truma. Truma cannot be wasted. So what does the Gemara say? You can use truma products for eating, for drinking, not for dyeing. You can't use a truma of a pomegranate to color with the pomegranate seeds to color something. It's a waste of truma. You have to eat the pomegranate seeds. You can't use it as a dye. You get it? You can use Shemitah products as a dye, but you can't use truma as a dye. Right? But truma products can be used for only a third thing. Eating, drinking, and?
Anointing.
You can take truma oil and anoint it. So here's the question. Tell me what you think the two sides are. Can you use truma oil on and rub it into the foot of a 4-day-old boy, son of a Kohen? Can you use truma oil and rub it into a 4-day-old boy's leg? And is that tied into the question? Because everybody here, it cannot be that a family that has a boy within a week of Pesach has to eat the Korban Pesach at Pesach Sheni because the boy is an RL.
Right.
No one's going to say, give the boy a bris at 6 days old. No, you can't. A bris at 6 days old isn't a bris. Right? So I'd like to bring a raya to answer this question because the Gemara just assumes this. The Gemara doesn't bring a raya. I'd like to suggest a raya from an Agadah. Now, what's the status of bringing raya from Agadita? All right, here it is. There is an Agadita that compares Bilam to Avraham. That Bilam and Avraham had a different approach to hearing God's prophecy. Bilam always heard prophecy either at night or while asleep or lying down or on the floor. As opposed to Avraham, who was able to stand up when hearing God's prophecy. But, first the Medrash mentions the difference. By the way, Rashi brings this difference down in his Perush al HaTorah, that Bilam was an Orel, and if you're an Orel, you'll have a harder time accepting God's prophecy than if you're not an Orel. But then Rashi in Perek Yud Zayin in Bereishis says that when Avraham first heard the command to give himself a bris, he fell on the floor. And it says he was laughing because he was so happy, but he fell on the floor. And Rashi says he fell on the floor because he was an Orel. And he was hard for him to accept the prophecy, being an Orel. But wait a second, the obvious question is, what? Chapter 17 is not the first time God speaks to Avraham. Why didn't he fall on the floor when he told him Lech Lecha? Why didn't he fall on the floor when he told him in Perek Tesvov, there it says an Eimach HaSheikh on the floor, but God does talk to Avraham elsewhere. He says, listen to Sarah, why doesn't Avraham fall on the floor there? The answer
is,
he's
not an Orel until Hashem tells him to get a bris.
Right. He's not an Orel until Perek Zion in Bereishis. He didn't have a din of an Orel. How can you say someone who's not yet commanded has a din of Orel? So if someone is commanded not to have a bris, how can you call that person an Orel?
What about a situation where the baby is 8 days old, but because of a sakana, he can't have a bris
yet? The next question. That's the corollary to this. Absolutely. According to this svara, at 10 days old, where the bris is already shayach, but Nebuch, he's jaundiced, he's Dr. Paskins, if he gets a bris now, it'll be a real sakana. So that is the question regarding the truma, the oil of truma, and of whether Korban Pesach. So Rabbeinu Tam Zicher, Rabbeinu Tam addresses this and he says, without a doubt, as long as there's a psak that says you should not get a bris, then you have no problem using the truma oil and eating Korban Pesach.
Right, but that's a forever situation. That's a situation where it's not temporary.
And so here we have a simple answer. So eat Pesach Sheni. Wait till your boy can have a bris and go to Pesach Sheni. You're invalidated now, and then you'll get it later. All right. So that is indeed those two sides, and the chinuch says so.
Is that the halacha? If the baby is temporarily
delayed. Yeah. Because Haba Hatali, we the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Rashi, and the Paskins on this case too.
Before the eighth day, it's not a problem. After the eighth day,
it's a problem.
Unless it's a permanent.
Correct. If they think that this is going to be a situation that will correct itself. Now, a preemie could be a 3-month situation, which is going to invalidate you from Pesach Sheni too.
But
next year, you'll be okay.
For sure. Okay. All right. So now, there's going to be a question of tumtum, mashuch, androgynous, nolad mahul. This is going to be fun. First, what are these terminologies? So tumtum is someone who demonstrates neither masculine nor feminine gender. And the chinuch says, eino ochel mishum safek orla. V'chein Rambam Trumas, a tumtum is a safek. He may be an orel, so it's a safek deraisa. And since mitzvah teresh pei beis is taken from the Rambam paskins that an orel may not eat truma. This tumtum, obviously he does, he hasn't been circumcised, nothing's been touched, right? Rambam paskins in Hilchos Maisa Korbanos, that he can't eat kachim. But he doesn't get malchus if he does eat truma, this tumtum, because it's a suffix. What's the suffix? He may be a girl.
But aren't we saying there's no genitalia?
Yeah, that's a tumtum, yes.
Right, so then how can you say he's an RL if there's no genitalia?
Well, it might be like inverted or something.
Yeah,
like,
so
inside.
Right, so the Gemara, in Psachim Davka, remember? In Psachim, the Gemara talked about whether do we have a chiyuv to rip him open to make an operation to see if to determine if he is one or the other, right? So the Gemara says no. Okay. So.
What if you could do now with genetic testing, we could prove that he's either XY or XX. So if you proved he was XX, then you wouldn't. You expect him to have it.
Yeah. If he has male chromosomes, but he doesn't even have anything to circumcise to begin with. He's still an RL.
Right, but no, he was XY, but there's still no female genitalia either. There's nothing, but so you can't say that's a suffix anymore about it being an RL because
right, that's a very interesting. It's a very interesting point. How can you call someone who doesn't have anything to circumcise an RL? Right. This svara, I think I shared with you a few weeks ago, which I saw in the Minchas Osher, Rav Asher Weiss, who's become very famous in Israel now. He's like the coronavirus expert in Israel now. He has a 5-volume sefer on the Torah called Minchas Osher. And he suggests where the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah wonders what's better if you have a Gentile to do a bris or a woman to do a bris. I think. And then there's a third option,
a Jewish woman,
yes. And the Gemara says, and then there is a mummer, a Jewish mummer, Jewish heretic. But the Jewish heretic is himself circumcised. So the Gemara gives all kinds of svaras, and then it, in one opinion, prefers the woman. So the Gemara says, it says, himol yimol lachem kol zachor, that the only one who is qualified to give a bris is someone who has a bris. So the Gemara says, a woman has a bris. She's not an RL.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. She's not an RL. Someone who never needed a bris can't be called an RL.
Huh.
All right. So, just an interesting concept all around. In other words, there's the tumtum who demonstrates masculine chromosome, but has nothing whatsoever, even if we would perform an operation. Right. But on this, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a tumtum may not eat the Korban Pesach. Whether he invalidates the rest of his family according to these rules that we're reading here, that it says, the whole family is affected. We'll have to see that because that comes up at the end of this. And it also, there are ways about how to isolate a person, not totally kick him out of the family. Of course, he sits there and eats with everybody. He just doesn't get a kezias of dessert at the end of the meal, right? Okay. All right, now, the next thing is a mashuch. You see 2a, it says mashuch. This is a pele otzum. I assume that the mashuch is asking this question after doing tshuva. Because mashuch is considered one of the worst averos in Kol HaTorah Kula. In Pirkei Avos, he loses his olam haba. Right? What's a mashuch? I believe that the procedure in English is called epiplasm.
Oh, it's reversing the bris milah.
Yeah, it's such a painful thing.
Yeah,
it's moshech es ha'orla. Right. Okay, in other words, he was circumcised. The orla, if you've ever been close to a bris, is pushed up, put into a clamp, and the whole thing is cut off. Pretty big piece of flesh that's cut off. All right? So to do something to pull up the skin and to cover the bit, it's absolutely crazy. All right, for someone to want to go through such a painful exercise just so he could look like all the other Greeks in the gym is really getting crazy, right?
Well, it could be, you know, in times when you're in danger if you had a...
I hear you. Didn't I tell you the story a few weeks ago about the Miro Ukrainchik? Remember him? He was converting. He was from Croatia, and his mother, who as a young girl in Yugoslavia, remembered the men being told to drop their pants in the middle of the street by the Nazis to see if they were circumcised, and if they were circumcised, they'd carry them off. Just middle of the street, middle of a crowded street.
So my father told me, that actually happened to him. I guess it was in Budapest during the war, and he told to drop his pants. So he knew Hungarian, so he started yelling at the guy in Hungarian. I said, okay, go ahead. Just let him go.
Wow.
Oh, crazy.
Crazy, right? Unbelievable.
So this guy, Miro, he told me that his mother called him up and said, I don't mind if you convert to this Judaism, but I don't want you getting circumcised. Right? So, you know, he had to explain to her that it's, you know, it's a package deal. You can't convert without getting circumcised. But by that time, Miro had become really quite frum. He had a beard and he wore his tzitzis out, and he didn't have payas, but he looked pretty frum. And he told his mother, "Mom, they're going to know I'm Jewish long before they get to my bris." You know? and we still keep in touch. All right. So that is the mashuch is someone who engages. The question is, can he eat the Korban Pesach? What? Why would he want to eat the Korban Pesach? Because it's lamb chops. I don't know. He wants the meat. Can we give it to him?
No, but he's still technically circumcised.
Yeah, the Minchas Chinuch argues yes.
Yeah,
the Minchas Chinuch says if you want to give it to him, he has to be at the table for whatever reason. I grew up, we always had holy mishumadim at our Seder. We always had people who and we tried to makarev them. You know, some of them became, but it was very.
They wanted to come to the Seder anyway. You know.
Yeah.
My brother remembers a guy in Shul on Yom Kippur when we were growing up who was a Jewish policeman who would come to Shul on Yom Kippur, and he had a transistor radio, and like the World Series was off and on then, and he had one of those earphones, and he was listening to it during Shul. And my brother said, you know, why are you here? You know, and he looked at him and said, what if I'm wrong? You know, there are people who...
They want an insurance policy.
They are whatever. They have, you know, had a Yiddish show. He was, you know, whatever.
Yep. I find it's funny. It's amazing what some people do when they start to, you know, whatever they've been for 50, 60 years, you know, all of a sudden it's just that there's an old lady. She's 95 years old. Well, you know, Hilda. Uh-huh. And you know, she was from a firm family before the war. But when she came to America, it was all dropped. But in the last year or two, she's become really, really firm. So Nebuch, her brother died yesterday, she knew that he was going. And on Shabbos, her daughter came in from someplace in New Jersey to pick her up to take her to see her brother, and she refused. She walked. She's 95, for goodness sake. She walked on Shabbos from 96th Street to 77th Street.
Wow, now that's nothing for her though. She walks. She walks every day.
I know. But she walked. She insisted on walking, and she walked home. Right. Wow. So who knows? Who knows what gets into the mind? I knew people who ate gullah treif the whole year, but on Pesach they would eat matzah. They wouldn't eat bread on Pesach. Right. So people
ham on matzah.
I've seen that.
Ham with matzahs in Israel. The egg ham with matzahs in the world, because they can't serve bread and they can't serve the muffins. In McDonald's in Israel, egg with matzahs. So the mashuch argues the chinuch in 2a. He says that he thinks they should be able to. What about the nolad mahul who didn't get a hatafas dambris? Right, the paskin of the halacha, the psak halacha is that if someone is born with no foreskin at all to cut off, there's nothing to drape over. It's already uncovered. The child is born as if though the child had a richter gebris. So comes the sefer chinuch to say bim nolad mahul. Right, v'nim shechar l'aso ayein taz yoredei halachos milas simin reish tamach dal tzivkov tes nistapek de'efshar de'tzarach l'mul min haTorah v'ayein ma shekasvu sham. Right? So he says maybe this person is not midrabbanan needs hatafas dambris, maybe midoraisa.
Why?
Okay.
Yeah, but I thought you still prick it. I thought that's still the halacha, is that you have to prick it.
Hatafas dambris, yeah. So that's the Rambam's Psak in Perek Aleph, Mihilchos Mila, Halacha Zayin. Take a look where it says to be. The Nolad Mahul, Tzarech La'atif Mimenu Dambris, Imkein Havi Safek Orla, Kavusha. Right? And he says that he needs a Tafas Dambris in order to eat it. What about an androgynous? The androgynous is the exact opposite of the Tumtum. Androgynous is both. Im eno mahul la Rambam, the habe suffik nekeva im kain ein loke. He doesn't get malchus for eating the carbon pesach if he doesn't circumcise whatever's there, because he may actually be a woman, especially if Howard's question before, if we check out the chromosomes to determine. V'yesh sovrim the habe vaday zachar. Some say an androgynous is absolutely a man. Question is also, can an androgynous give a ring to a woman and say, be my wife? If she knows he's an androgynous and she's okay with that. Right? Can a man give an androgynous kedushin and say, you be my wife? Assuming he knows that. Obviously, it has to be that there's knowledge about the status. Because hiding the fact that one is an androgynous would be mekachtos. Okay, so now there's a third opinion about an androgynous, is that one is that it's a suffix male, a suffix or a suffix female. Another one is that it's called a bria bifnei atzmo. It's a new gender. He thought that there are 57 genders. The Gemara says there are three genders.
That's
male, there's female, and there's androgynous, right? So I don't think there's 57 genders, but there are 57 brands of Heinz.
Heinz.
Okay, so
isn't this like the midrash that Adman Chavo really were one creature, and then they got separated?
Yes, yes, yes.
They would have had both genitalia.
Mm-hmm. By the way, in today's world, we're getting the 57.
Right, right.
Okay. All right, no.
So what's the answer about the Kedushin?
The Kedushin, the Gemara splits it. The Gemara says that a man may not Mekadesh an androgynous,
but a woman.
But an androgynous may Mekadesh a woman.
Ah. Okay, that makes sense.
Work that out yourselves, please.
What's the Nolad Mahul? What did we conclude about that? Kenny or Kenny?
Nolad Mahul needs a Tafas Dambris in order to eat the carbon.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Today, by the way, I know this because you would be amazed at how many conversions we're doing during COVID. Even males, but they'd be amazed at the technology they have now. Maybe you felt it if you got a COVID vaccine, the thinness of these little implements that can actually do a tafas dambris in a way that's quite painless is really is quite amazing. Right? So it's not such a big deal, but that's easy for me to say. All right, so
Rabbi,
yes, Charlie.
In the unusual case where someone's diphalic and circumcises one penis, is he considered an orla or is he considered circumcised?
You'd think that the Sefer Achinuch would come up with this question. I don't know if he was aware of the condition. I do remember hearing this coming up in a shir. And that they would both need to be circumcised.
Wow.
Falky's born with two penises.
Two heads are better than one.
Wow. Well,
not always.
Not always.
Okay. So let's take a look at the shear number four. V'nei le'inyan achilas kezayis, u'kedei achilas pras, v'chatzi shear, asim in haTorah, everything is the same. This din should be no different. That says don't eat An Orel may not eat the Korban Pesach, so okay. Din and Ayin La'el, Mitzvahs Gidah Noshe. Take a look at what I wrote there. It's all, if he eats the Kezias of the Korban Pesach in less than a Kedei Achilas Pras, all those dinim, everything applies here as well. Okay. The Zman HaIsser, all right, so he says, Eina Mavur Zman HaLav. The answer is, all it's Nogea, all the time that we can eat the Korban Pesach. For all the time that you can eat the Korban Pesach. If an Orel eats the Korban Pesach after it's already Nosar, he may have a separate issue of eating Nosar, but he doesn't have an issue of eating the Korban Pesach because it's not a Korban Pesach anymore.
Right. Also, if he eats it too early.
If he eats it too early, yes, absolutely. Okay. What do you think of this? It says that if someone has Eved Knani, so the Eved Knani has to be gemalt in order for him to eat the Korban Pesach. What about a Shifcha Knanis? So isn't she's like the woman we mentioned 20 minutes ago, right?
Yeah. She doesn't need a bris.
Right, but she does need tevila. No. She does need to go to the mikveh to have a tevila, the shame shifchus, the shame, you know, to be considered and she has many of the dinim of a Jewish woman then. Just like, and she does mitzvahs. She does all the mitzvahs that women do, right? And then she can eat the Korban Pesach. But until she has this type of tevila, which is the same as the Eved, Kanani's tevila and bris mila, then this, the chinuch says the same thing here, which is that the shivcha would be would invalidate an toveled shivcha would also invalidate him.
Would that invalidate the whole chavura?
Would validate the household of the person.
That's right.
Not the whole chavura. Send her out like right then and there to the mikvah and fix it.
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
So now,
in other words, it's not a question of like she was not toveled at the time you shechted the Korban Pesach and invalidates it. It's a like, can it be fixed after the fact?
It has to be fixed sometime before the achila. This was the question that was asked for Pesach Sheni. Right. Remember, the Gemara says there are two opinions of what made them ask about that they were tummy. One is that they were carrying the bones of Yosef, and one that they had dragged out the bodies of Nadav and Avihu. Right. Mm-hmm. So Nadav and Avihu died by Yom HaShmini. So that was 8th is day 1, 9th is day 2, 10th is day 3, 11th is day 4, 12th is day 5, 13th is day 6, 14th is day 7. Right, so they could have the ashes of the paraduma sprinkled on day 3 and day 7, but they're not tohar to eat kachim until Harev Shemesh.
Right.
So at the time of the Shechita, they were not valid eaters of the Korban Pesach. But at the time of the or the Zrika for that matter, but at the time of the eating, they are valid eaters, and that was the lumdus of their question, and Moshe answered in the affirmative.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So all males in the household, whether it's his family, meaning his sons, or his miknas kesef. Miknas kesef means his avodim, right? So they can all ma'akev him. Now, if he's a member of a chabura, that doesn't affect the other members of the chabura. Right, that's like him being found to have an upset stomach and he cannot eat anything. So he's all right. He's out, but the others are in.
What about it's an Eved Ivri that for some reason wasn't...
Eved Ivri is totally on his own. He has nothing to do with the Indian. He's totally on his own. Whether the owner of the Eved Ivri probably wants him to be there at the table and serve, but he has no he's like another member of the Chabura who has no bearing. Eved Ivri is his own responsible for his own inyan. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, as far as Bonav HaGedolim.
But by the way, all these people that you're talking about, do they have to make their own reservation for the Korban Pesach? Like we discussed before, you're talking about the Shivka and this one and all the people in the household. If he doesn't put them on the list, or how does that work with the reservations?
That's up to him to do. It's not up to them to do.
But on the Eved,
like if it's an Eved Kenani or a Shivcha or whatever, or a minor child, they have to go with the Rav. But if it's adult children or the wife, you know, she can do her own. The Gemara talks about this.
Yeah, absolutely. There's only the Brera issues is when there's a doubt.
Right.
Because the same person can't eat two different Korban Pesachs. So when there's a doubt over whether her husband shechted it for her or whether her father shechted for her, so she goes to her father the first year, but after that, then she's stomach goes with her husband. But there's a default position here. But when there's a doubt, then you have to cover your bases because you don't want to eat in Korban Pesach B if you were really signed up for Korban Pesach A. Robbie, what was your question?
What about an Eved Ivri? You know, when they're on their own.
That's like an adult child. Adult child can be on his own. An adult child, maybe it's not nice, but an adult child can say, Mom and Dad, I appreciate that. I know you're all going to Yerushalayim to eat the Korban Pesach, but I'd prefer to eat with my girlfriend's family, or I'd prefer to eat with Cousin Henry's family or something like that. That's any past bar and bas mitzvah. They're on their own to do that.
An Eved Ivri is more like an indentured servant, a hired person than a slave. I mean,
he's on his own on that score.
And what about if he was given a wife by his master? What about the wife? God bless you.
Thank you. That woman is a different situation. That woman is back to the Miknas Kesef. That woman is an Eved Knanis. That's the Shivcha Necherefes La'ish in Parshas Kedoshim, called the Shivcha Charufa. She is not fully a married woman, but she's like called for. Right? So there's
She's with her master's Chabura?
Yes. I see your question. In other words, she is...
She's not his wife.
It's interesting. I've never seen the Gemara discuss this. In other words, she is the shivcha of one master, and she's married to she's set aside to have children for an Eved Ivri of a different master. Mm. We always assumed that it's the same master
but if it is the same master, let's say the Eved Ivri wants to make his own chabura, does his wife go with him, or does she go?
I see.
No, but they're married.
She's not really halachically connected to him, except so far as is a different din of bikores tihyeh if someone sleeps with her, right? There's something called an asham shivcha charufa, right? You familiar with that?
I've heard of it. Yeah,
I've read it. I never know what it meant.
Ezu makom and shel zvachim.
Right.
So she gets malchus and he has to bring an asham. This is an interesting thing. I don't know. I have to see how we know from Parshas Kedoshim and the Gemara in the middle of the first parak in Kedushin discusses their relationship. But I'm not familiar if the Gemara in Kedushin discusses it from the standpoint of Korban Pesach. And guys, Walter and Aaron, you've been attending the Daf. And Lenny. I don't recall if Meseches Pesachim brought up the. They didn't say it.
It talks about Shifcha, I think, an Eved or whatever being, you know, the part of the Ravs, but I don't recall it talking about a situation.
Sense is that if the Shifcha is married, was set aside as a Shifcha Harufa for the same master's Eved Ivri. That if this Eved Ivri who can, if he chooses, and with the permission of his Rav, do his own thing, that she has the option of joining him.
But in case where she has intercourse with someone else, it's not adultery. She's not usher to the Eved Ivri anymore.
Yeah, that is true. So let's look at it the other way. she has no halachic grounds to create any kind of connection to him for Korban Pesach, but she does have halachic grounds as Miknas Kesef to the Rav.
Yeah, right.
So that might be a good argument to say that she should eat the Korban Pesach with the master. So I would, you know, obviously Shalom Yisrael would be if both of them do. So so that's an interesting thing. Yeah. Okay. So what interesting is that in the original mitzvah that I read to you before, where it says that if there is miknas kesef in the house, it says umalta oso az yochal bo, right? V'chi yaguri tchager v'asa pesach l'Hashem himolo kol zachar v'oz yikrav la'asoso v'hayok ezrach ha'aretz v'chol arel lo yochal bo. Right? V'chol eved ish miknas kosef umalta oso az yochal bo. The Rambam and the Chinuch do not count it as a mitzvah saseh to circumcise this person so that he can eat the Korban Pesach. Right? In other words, the Rambam says, make it so that all the members of your household, Jew or non-Jew, can eat the Korban Pesach. Right? That entails having a bris. Right? But he doesn't count it that now you're commanded now to do to make him to give him a bris. There's an overall mitzvah. It's called Achilas Korban Pesach for you and your household. Understood within that context is don't have anything in that household which would invalidate you in any way from eating the Korban Pesach, which is an uncircumcised male or an uncircumcised Kenyan Kesef. Right? So, it's interesting. Don't you see a mitzvah saseh in here? Right? In other words, you only count it as a mitzvah lo saseh. Don't eat the Korban Pesach if you have any of these invalidations.
And this is like the nitak asay for the law.
Can you
have somebody? You have to maul them.
Can you remove the invalidation, especially if it's going to invalidate your whole household? For instance, if there's a kohen in a shul and they ask him to leave, or he left, you know, before duchening, you don't have duchening in a situation here where you have someone that invalidates the family if they walked outside the house for the 10, 15 minutes till you ate it. Would that be okay?
No. He doesn't cease to be a member of your household. It's not a question of being in the house. But what you can do is sell him. give him away. Give him his freedom. you can kill him. Let's see. What else can you do?
Well, can you do like on Pesach, you sell the chametz, sell him for that day? And then guy him back.
You give him his freedom for the week. Go on vacation. Yeah.
Make him half care.
If anyone can take him.
Yeah.
I'm saying, let's say the guy didn't want to get circumcised. I'm not doing. You know, I don't care. You're not circumcising me and this and this. What's up, fight? But meanwhile, that invalidates the whole household. So they got to do something to deal with it.
The Rebbetzin just asked an interesting question that is covered in the Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga. The Gemara talks about what happens if you have an Eved who just, you know, you have him for some time and he refuses to be circumcised. You can't tie him up and circumcise him.
Right.
You have to release him. The Gemara says you can't hold on to such an Eved more than 1 year.
So then that's how an Eved could get his freedom. If he knows that, halacha, he could get his freedom. Just say, you know, he's sold into slavery, whatever it is, for X amount of time, but he can get his freedom.
You sell him to someone he would want to be owned by even less. Anyway, you can't sell him to a Jew. Slavery, so.
Yes, you can.
No, because then he's only good for a year. If you sell him to a Jew, the same thing happens the next year.
No, you probably, yeah, you should tell the Jew, listen, this is a guy who just doesn't want to be circumcised, so it's not good to
get a low price for him.
Yeah. Anyway, that's an interesting thing is that, like the way Aaron just mentioned it, it's like a lav hanitak. The mitzvah is have a household where Korban Pesach can be offered for everybody. This invalidation looks like it's fixed with doing a mitzvah saseh, right? Fix it, right? But the Rambam does not count that as a separate mitzvah. There's no mitzvah per se because it's there's no mitzvah to own an eved, right? It's a mitzvah kiyumis if the situation arises, but he doesn't count it as such. Okay, Chevra, we just Baruch Hashem, we finished Parshas Bo, at least in so far as not Parshas Bo, but Perikud Beis, in so far as Korban Pesach is concerned. Our next mitzvah, which is Mitzvah Yud Ches, is the mitzvah LeKadesh Bechoros, Kadesh Liko Bechor Peter Kol Rechem, and that's a Masechta you learned a few about a year ago, but more than that. But it's from Maseches Bechoros, and we'll have a good time with that, and good, okay.
Bechoros is that's Kachim Kalim.
A Bechor is Kachim Kalim. It means it has a day, and two days and a night to eat, as opposed to just one day, and it is the only korban that is automatically holy. It's called Kiddush Mirechem. It becomes holy from its mother's womb. But we'll see that there's still a mitzvah l'kadesh. It's still a mitzvah to declare it, to declare that it is a holy object.
Is it Kiddush in the mother's womb?
No. The Gemara says that if somehow... You know, and I don't know how you would do this, but if somehow someone would reach into the cow and nick the ear of this firstborn, I don't know. You know, yes, he doesn't at the time of the Gemara. I don't know if they knew it or it was going to be a boy or a girl, male or female. But if you would nick the ear and it's born with the ear nicked, then it's born mumo imo. All right. So yes, it has to be after it emerges from its mother. Okay. Well, it looks to me like your home on the west side. I recognize that painting.
There you go. Did you say the names?
No, you're going to now.
Okay. Yitzhak Yosef, Bendina Yochevik, Yitzhak Levin Yosef, Avram Abba Ben Shendo, Reuven Ben Malka, Rachel Bas Lulu, Aaron Ben Pesalhena, Yaakov Ben Chaya. This is a new name to add, if you can add it. It's Aryeh Lev Eliyahu ben Elka. That's
Marmelstein?
What?
That's Mr. Marmelstein?
No.
Who is that?
Epstein.
Lloyd Epstein.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Anybody have any other names?